now a few remedy of water now. Nathan Lash. A good friend of mine, she brought me around her friends. We've been going to Calvary Church, and she said to me, "I don't understand what happened. What's going on with you right now?" And I said, "I surrender." And that's all I knew, that I would just surrender. And so my husband and I we started reading the Bible, and we started right from the beginning. And, so the Old Testament speaking to me, and my husband and I were military. What I needed to do, and I appreciated that sort of voice. That's what I needed, and I started taking my sins and writing them down and asking for help. And he gave it to me. And one of them was alcohol. I said, "Lord, I don't want to drink so much." And I remember the day after that. And that's when I realized that God's working in His name is hearing me. And I could go on and on and all the different things that are happening, but I'm going to jump forward because it was 2 years. We had been in a couple Bible studies, and they had ended, and I was starting to feel like I was drifting a little bit. And so I was waiting in Grand Rapids Airport to go from Grand Rapids to Chicago. And I'm a pilot for Southwest, and so I have to work out of Chicago. And as I was sitting there in my uniform, Nisha was sitting in front of me, and I was struck, obviously, seeing her pulling her ticket out of her bag. And I said the most awkward thing anyone should ever say to somebody. And I said, "Do you need a hand?" I decided not to say anything else to her. got into a row and I said, can I sit with her? And there was a seat between her and I. And a man came and he asked for that middle seat. And I said, I'm gonna move over. I feel that I want to talk to her. So we spoke. And she went on and on about things that were going on in her life. And she talked about God and she mentioned her Bible study and she mentioned the people and her Christianity. And I was struck by it. She had so many things going on. She had a friend dying. She had two friends dying. She had a friend going through. She spoke about her family and how her mother had died and how somebody here was suffering with cancer. And I was struck by the fact that she was talking about everybody else and talking about Jesus. And she never once mentioned how things are tough for her. And I thought, in her condition, I mean, she took her ticket out with her feet. And after a while, I realized that she was full of God's Spirit. So I said, I'd like to be part of your Bible study. And so we made plans, and I was also struck by that because we were busy, but she was tenacious, and so. And so we were getting together, we were going to have dinner, and she said, I'm going to have a friend meet us, and the friend was Alex. And Alex got there first, and the two of us were sitting, so it was extremely awkward for me because I didn't know Alex, she didn't know me. And I was like, why is the mission here? Why should she have me sitting here with Alex? But then Alex said something that really struck me and really brought me in. But she said, these people are going to hold you to task. And with all the 2 years and the people that I met, they were very kind, but nobody held me to task. Nobody said, as Nisha and Wendy and Pam have done in our Bible study, when I said I could make it, nobody had ever said why. Yeah. Nobody had ever said, what about another day? What about this day? How about now? Nobody had ever told me to task. And so I started to realize that there was something different here and that there was something wrong with it. Mm-hmm. That I was not committed and I wasn't thinking about what Jesus was asking me, truly asking everything. I wasn't understanding what it meant to truly obey. I thought that I was doing a good job. And so through this Bible study, I really came to understand what it means to follow Jesus. And for the about 3/4 of the way, I thought it was all about obey. And so I thought this is going really well. And then we got to the part of baptism. And then we explained what happens for baptism, what it means. And I started to cry because I thought, what? This is something that I can do. I can be clean. I can be with God, not part of God. So I said, I want to be. And then again, but here we go. They hold you to task. And so Pam said, when? I said, I don't know. Maybe I'll wait till this, maybe I'll wait for that. And they were kind, but she said, well, and I can't remember the verse because I need to know how about it. But the point is as prodigal son coming home to the father, he ran. And so I decided to run. And so here we are. And so I am so grateful to be having the party and be
he's orchestrating people, all those folks.
And you get all the different people. Nisha has a story. She's going to get ready to share one of her story. Her side of the story. I have 20 minutes to finish this message. So, if she goes on, we talk about three words today. Faith, family, food. All right? When you look at faith first, James chapter 2.
My Newman.
Turn with me. James 2, we're going to pick up verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, James, Jesus' brother, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, if one of you says to them, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed. We almost said that to Sal. We almost know that. But does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, well, you have faith and I have deeds. Okay, let's make a package here. You know, I just don't like the action part. You can have all the faith, but then we'll work as a team. No. That doesn't work. Everybody needs to exercise their own faith. Mm-hmm. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith on what I do. You believe that there is God? Good. Even the demons believe that. Mm-hmm. And show it. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled. It says Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does, not by faith alone. You know, in this picture, you see that faith is about stepping out. You know, when Jesus called Peter, step out and come. I'm sure he was scared stiff in the boat, but he decided. He's going to take the first step. Yeah. And he did. Can you imagine walking in the water? Like, I can do this! Mm-hmm. But he kept looking at Christ. And that's how his actions, his faith, was working. Yeah. Powerful. You know, I love the point about faith and action working together. You know, when you say, I want to pray, okay, then you pray. I love God, then you're going to follow through. I will go to church, then you follow through. Man, I need to talk about my life. You're talking to me. Appreciate that quote. Expressing what's on your heart. Expressing, talking. God will walk in your spirit. Talking on your heart to do some things for you.
Amen.
Very good.
Amen
to that?
Amen.
Many, many years ago, as I grew up in a dysfunctional family, I didn't see love practice. I heard about love, but I never saw love in action. And so when people actually reached out to me, and I actually saw love, and husband and wife loving each other, and treating their kid right, I said, that is what I want. How did you get that thing wrong? And I started hanging out, just like with me. I was like, I want to hang out with this family. Where did they get this love? And the more and more I hung out with them, I realized that love is from God himself. Because this world has too much selfishness. And so when I saw that, I said, you know what? I want it too. I want it. I want God. I want that love. I want the whole package. I just don't want to go to church and sit there and go, I want the whole thing. I want to be like people in the Bible. Amen to that?
Yeah.
Secondly, family in motion. Family in motion. Turn with me to Ephesians 2. They're moving along pretty good. Rick talked a lot about foods of being hungry. Ephesians 2. The whole context, you look at it, it's talking about church. And now Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus. He's talks about being alive in Christ, being alive together. And he talks about one in Christ, and pick up again, 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth, are called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that down the body by the hands of men. Remember then that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners in the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Twice he says, remember, remember, remember where you come from. You know, sometimes it's important to remember our roots.
Yeah.
We gotta remember where we come from and what God has done in our lives. I've been reading Psalms, and I hope you're reading Psalms, and you're reading out and living it out. One of the things David keeps on, all the writers of the Psalms, remember the deeds what God has done.
Amen. Amen.
Remember Christ. Because we are so distracted. I'm not kidding. This week, last week, there's so much going on in my life, I had to fight time to pray. I'm getting text after text, phone call after phone call, email. I was like falling apart. God, I need to pray. And someone's calling, you need this, you need that. I was like all over the place. Computer's not working, I got a new one, there's no connection, I gotta go. I was just like, calm down.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just had to pull up the parking lot, shut down, put some music and just pray. And remember what God has done. In verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you were once, you're far away and have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. By abolishing in his flesh the law of his commandments and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. God is all about peace. Christ is all about peace. It's about peaceful. It's about being peaceful in our heart, in our head. And the more and more we're not peaceful, we need more of you. We need more of Christ. I got a question for you today. Are you peaceful? Peaceful is not being quiet. Okay, are you ready for this one? I'm going to say one. That's not peaceful. Peace with them. Peace with them. And today I want to encourage you. If you're not peaceful, then you need more of Christ. You've got to go to God even more. Amen to that?
Amen.
And here we read. Verse 16, and in this one body to reconcile both of them in God to the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you. Isn't that powerful? That's why Jesus came. He wanted to bring peace to you. It's all around the scripture. There's peace. Who were far away, and peace to those who are near. But through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens of God's people and members of God's household. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in his God, in his wise spirit. You know, today, Cody is making that decision to come and make peace with God. You know, we all have our journey. You made that decision. For those who have not made that decision, maybe you need to check your heart. Maybe I think, why am I so troubled in my spirit? You know, Jesus troubled in the spirit, he ran and prayed. When David troubled in the spirit, he ran and prayed. When he had feelings towards his enemies, he prayed. God, deal with those enemies. I don't want you. He had all these emotions out. And he was up, he was happy, he was praying to God. But as soon as when things were bad, he
he also expressed his heart. God, I don't like him. I don't like man. He just prayed. He didn't act out his feelings, but he let go, surrender his negative feelings. And that's why Christ came. He gave us peace. To be part of the body, to be members of God's household, to be a family. And again, the Bible goes on to say, Paul says, if we have peace, then we can have peace with each other. We join together. Are we getting along with each other? It's been a while. We talk about the summer, one another. We're going to have to practice with some teaching. Okay? One another is joining together. What joins us together? The apostles and the prophets. The Old Testament and the New Testament. That's God's word. And what do we have in common? You look at each other, we all so different. Size, shape, height, we name it, you know what I'm talking about. We look so different. Our color, our height. There's nobody, one person, the same. And what bonds us together, joins us together, is God's word. And the more you and I have the word of God planted deeply in our heart, we will be more loving, more kind. You know, I shared about last week about George Bernard, who did the stats. He's been doing it for almost over 30, 34, 35 years. All the churches, congregations, around 335 congregations in the whole of US of it. And he said the reason people don't go to church, number one, is they don't feel loved. That's it. It's not about the music, it's not about the worship, it's not about the building, or the lights that work, you know, the temperature, or the food, or the snacks, or the PowerPoint, or you know, I don't know. I mean, the drums, the music, the guitar, the amplifier. No! Do you feel loved? I persevered fighting the battle because I feared God's love. Because I saw it. Long. You know, a few months ago, Pam and I had a family time, it was during the summer time. And our kids, we always have a family tradition in case you go and do something together in Chicago or Michigan or Detroit or whatever. This year, we're going to go in July, we'll go to LA, hang out, have a good family vacation. I'm trying to bend my daughter's arm, don't go to California, but you know, I can't bend it, it's too strong. Then you're done. So much so good. So December, we're sitting down, and Michael just shared about us. So Dad, I don't just want to share about you guys.
Like, oh no, here we go.
You know, when somebody says that, they're all going to talk something. Just want to encourage you. You know, it's good to use the word encourage. They want to encourage you because you both have done a great job of it. Wow. I waited, what, 20, 35 years ago? That was a lot more things that day. He said, we saw how much time we spent with people in different parts of the world and different churches. He said, what impacted was Chicago? We were there for 7 years. He saw a lot of folks coming in, coming there sad and becoming happy. Family. Oh, so you were watching every day. Our kids are watching. Right? Our grandkids are watching. Every single day. They're innocent. When you're unhappy, they'll be unhappy. Oh, I guess that's how it works. Oh, Dad can shout at mom. Oh, I guess I'll do that when I'm grown up. There's no teaching. They pick it up. They see you. They see tension. If the family doesn't talk, they pick it up. Okay, then I'll talk to you. He doesn't talk to me. That's how the hearts are molded. Oh, yeah. And Michael said, you know what? That really helped me. Michael said, that really helped me. That having a fellowship, not just in Sunday church, but having a body, it was so important. he started doing the same thing when he went to Long Beach. He said, I want to do the same thing. He started reaching out to people all the time, reaching out to people in Chicago, and he accepted all the disciples he had in Troy. And then when he comes to go to Troy so he can hang out with them, he sees that culture. And so here, God is talking about family. It's that what holds us together is the word. We can be different. And I love our churches around the world. We just hang out. I can't wait to hang out with some of these guys. Saji called me, by the way, Saji, and they thank all the mission work. They thank all the churches. I wish they were all here. Pray for them. They Detroit will have some money. They'll be by Saji and Shiva. Now, five other disciples are trying to muster up 2 lakh rupees. That's a lot of money. Okay, I'll be like raising up 50 grand. Here's a lifetime to raise up 50 grand. Praise God for the dollar. But they want to be joined. They want to be together. Amen to that.
Amen.
And finally, fruit forever. Lasting fruit forever. Tell me, John 15. We can get the snacks in 20 minutes. John 15. You know, it's the later part of Christ's life. He said pretty much why, a lot of instructions at the end. John 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. The book I'm reading in John 15, it says in verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That's one of the most challenging scripture in the Bible. It's one thing to feel compassion, it's one thing to see a need, but I'm talking about it just laying your life down. It takes a lot. That means you're sacrificing you and giving your time and energy and being available. You are my friends if you do what I command. He's setting up a standard for friendship. That means if you don't do, you're not my friend. You can say that. Now, we feel like that sometimes, right? You do that to kids sometimes. You don't call me, I'm not going to call you.
Bad you, man.
No, you know, that's not quite smart. He's unconditional love. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know the master of the truth. Instead, I call you friends. For everything that I learned from my father, I have made known to you. Did you know that? Isn't that so powerful? I really believe that's how our church can grow, that we can grow in our friendships, that we share a heart. Not attack, not burden people. Not negative stuff, just share your heart. And I love hanging out with James. You know, this year, last week, James and I just hung out once in a while. We had 40, 30 minutes, but now it's like an hour and a half. And I appreciate James, after working all night, meeting up downtown, and we would hang out for an hour and a half. We wouldn't even know how much time. Like, what? If I was him, I would fall asleep. I've done fellowship. Okay? I fall asleep at churches too. Okay, I'll But I appreciate James and you just come out with it. So much to talk about. It's awesome. That's what God is calling us to be, open to each other more and more. Amen to that. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go out there to that life. You know, here God is calling us to be fruit that will last forever. Last forever. The Greek translation for that is being loyal, remaining in Him, abiding, continuing, endure, lasting, remaining. It's the same context in John 8, 31-32 about discipleship. If you hold on to my teaching, then you are truly my disciple. So Christ is saying, you got to hold on to the teaching till you reach heaven, buddy. Guys, listen, are you listening to me, Peter, James, John? Are you going to stick around the next 30, 40 years and be with me in heaven? I know you want to be with me right now, physically, but do you want to be with me in heaven in spirit? And God encouraged him, John 14, to not be troubled. trust in God. I prepared a place for you.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've been seeing you in 30 years. You didn't have that kind of conversation. Amen to that.
Amen. Amen.
I pray to God that Ron will be alive forever. Mm-hmm. I pray that we all be alive forever.
And you know what? That's not how it is.
Right. I want to see Ron in heaven one day.
Mm-hmm. We want to make it together. We want to see each other. All our friends and our family and buddies.
Amen to that.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we got to stick it up. We got to endure. Mm-hmm. You know, after you said that, some of them died 30, 40 years later. 30 years enduring the cross, the persecution, the negative, the rejection, the beating, the scar. Are we ready for the ride, brothers and sisters in Christ? Jesus didn't even talk about it. I'll see you next Sunday at church. He didn't even have that language. He said, I'll see you in heaven one day. Higher call. That is the scripture. It's been great to hang out together. It's been awesome. Today, this morning, I want to share about the Harpers. It's my time to share. And I'm going to relax. And I wish we had more time. I don't know if you need any good stuff that people can do, but you know, whatever time we have, a year, it's over a year. You know, I'm growing closely, and many of us are very close to it. And I really appreciate your loyalty to God, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, ready to travel. You know, this week we had a little emergency, one of the family members. He went down to Mississippi and came back. All right. Oh, I need my rest. I need my sleep. I'm not serving, giving, training, much like that. So I can't serve it. No! He has the heart of God. There's a spirit fired up, hanging in the flame, wanting to serve and give. And I appreciate that, Rick. All the folks are going to come back. I won't hit you on me. And so I'm going to do that to the old people. But we understand you guys, and I believe we should be a serving heart, very responsible, time, hosting me. Thank you for putting out 100 times. I love that. I don't know what they do, but it's the best pudding ever. No offense, Mom. But it's a heart of serving. I know you guys do great things in Ohio with the kids and all that. So this time we have Brett come and close it out. Have a great day. We'll get to a great party now. Amen.
Amen.
Cool. Thanks, Herman. What you guys think of that?